hon, it's me, Danielle. I am a licensed clinical mental health counselor, and I'm here to talk about all the ways multi-level marketing and mental health do not mix. It is important to know that this podcast is not meant to diagnose or for treatment. This podcast is based off of personal experiences and opinions, and is meant to educate and entertain. Now sit back and start healing with me on this episode of From Huns to Humans.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of From Huns to Humans. I am so excited to be back. As you guys know, at the end of our last episode, I let you guys know I was taking a break and I wasn't sure if I was going to come back and do this. But then I went to DC and I'm feeling very invigorated in my activism. So here we are. We're going to do a little recap with Michelle, who went to DC with me. You guys have probably heard her story before. I'll link in the show notes her original interview with me. I can't remember what number it is off the top of my head, but you should go and listen to that because Michelle has a really, really just touching story that if you don't know it, you need to know it. So yeah. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Hey, Danielle. How are you?
I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yeah. It's a great Sunday morning in America.
Although I wish we were together again. It was so cool to meet you in person.
That was so amazing. It was so great to meet some of my, you know, internet friends, activist friends, and I mean, really the people I text every day.
Right? And like,
and I hug think your faces.
This is like a really interesting, like, kind of counterpoint to our experience in MLM, like when we would go to conferences and stuff like that. And you would just go and you would see like the famous uplines or whatever, like famous within your MLM. Mm-hmm. But like here we got to meet like, I don't know. It wasn't like any one of us were like fangirling over each other. It was all just like, oh my God, you're a real person.
It was amazing. And you're right. It's so fun to, you know, contrast like the experiences that we're having in anti-MLM with the experiences in MLM, because obviously there's something about both of these, you know, groups that has attracted us. And when, like with the conference comparison, like we went to this conference not to see like a keynote, but to, and not to go and meet specific people. It wasn't like, oh, if I make it to DC, I'm going to get to meet Roberta or Bill or Doug or anything like that. It was like, I get to go do this work with my friends who I'm doing the work with online. Like, it was right. Just really powerful and amazing and awesome. Of course, the first day when it was just us, the day before the conference was just like oodles of fun. So ridiculous. We are crazy.
Yeah. I think that's another really interesting point too. Like, what am I trying to say?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say half the time.
That's fair. That's fair. But like, we all went there and we had like this cool mission as opposed to going there and seeing Kelly Clarkson and watching like a Rachel Hollis type of character. And like also in comparison, so at this conference, it was only in person for the presenters. It was not open to the public at this time. That might change in the future. It might not. We don't know.
That would be so cool.
It would be really cool.
It was both.
but for now, like that, this is kind of what we're working with, you know, in regards to space and money and time and all this stuff. Cause I think that people need to remember too, like this is an academic conference. This isn't a sales conference. So there are some differences here in what that's going to look like. So as an in the MLM space, we're used to going to these sales conferences, and sales conferences are really showy. Even in not MLM, they are still very showy. I've never been to one, but I have heard that from other people, and I'm sure that there are some that are less showy and some that are more. But they want to get you hyped up to sell whatever product you're selling. And I think that's kind of like, you know, just another classic example of MLM, how they take real things from real industries and turn it into their schemes.
It's kind of one of their biggest hooks is in so many ways, like a shortcut to feeling like some kind of expert or some kind of entrepreneur or, you know, very successful person in some other field. A lot of what MLM plays on is people's desire to be able to do those things without putting in the time. And so I definitely agree. They kind of, I don't want to say like dumb things down, but they do like take, you know, terminology and phrases and even like institutional things and like the conferences and business coaches and everything like that. You know, all these things are legitimate.
Right.
But when applied to this unethical system, become unethical, because then you're like, the point of them is to like get people hyped up. I don't think it's unethical to get people hyped up about consumer protection, but to get thousands of people hyped up about some bullshit product that they're overpaying for so that you can coerce them into buying it and, you know, boosting their own small paycheck. I don't know. That is unethical. Anyway,
right.
Little off track there. Sorry.
It's okay. But like, so I think just like kind of everyone like refocusing, like this is what an educational conference looks like. It is, you know, people presenting what they've been working on for the past year in the field. So the social media panel, we focused on the quote that the DSA put out from their survey, right? Essentially saying that the younger generations are not going. Oh, do you have it?
I have it here.
Oh, perfect. You read it.
Simmering since the early 2010s. An active and highly vocal anti-multi-level marketing MLM movement has exploded in popularity over the past several years, and evidence that it is catching on in mainstream culture, especially with Gen Z, has industry leaders and executives worried.
Dun, dun, dun.
That was written in Social Selling News in April of 2021. We were given this quote actually by Bill Keep, and he was, you know, he didn't say this has to be what the presentation is about, but he did throw it out there as an idea. We loved it. We wanted to focus on this quote and the sentiment behind it as our theme and find out and present our findings on whether or not Gen Z really is turning away from the multi-level marketing industry. And if they are, why is that? And how can we, you know, help that to continue? How can we help get younger people into this consumer protection space.
Right. Absolutely. So that's really what we tried to focus on in the presentation. And I think it was really cool how we were able to weave that in. And also, this is a topic that's really important to me. If any of you watched the Q&A from last year, I actually talked about this at the end of the conference. And I asked them, what are we doing to move forward? How are we going to help the younger generation in learning and being educated about multi-level marketing so that they don't make the same mistakes that we did? So it was really cool for me, who like pitched that last year, to come full circle this year and present about it.
So amazing. I remember that conversation because there were so many people on there talking last year about how we can develop programs to teach better financial education to people younger. And I loved, you know, there are conversations that came out of that. If anyone, you know, listening to this is interested in that, I hope that they reach out to you maybe, or to me, I don't care. You want to get involved, reach out to one of us who are involved and we will find a way to get you involved. And yeah, I loved that. I wish that there had been a Q&A this year. Time didn't allow for it, obviously, but it was, to me, a really special part of last year. And I love that you pointed that out. I don't think I even realized, but it's totally for full circle on that.
Yeah. So what I want to talk about with you today is a little bit of like a recap on like what your presentation was, because your topic is something I'm really passionate about, and that is, how are we moving forward with activism? How can we help people who are more passive consumers of anti-MLM get more involved and feel like they're doing something? And just, what does the future of anti-MLM look like? And you have so many really cool ideas that I'm really excited about, that I just had to have you come on and help me recap the conference and talk about this, because there are a lot of people that listen to this. And I think that there are a lot of people that think, oh, wow, like, I'd love to do something, but I don't want to be a content creator. And honestly, I don't blame you. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I'm really obsessed with that too, with activation. That's what I kept referring to in my presentation. What I kind of wanted to do was, I knew that I wanted to talk about not recruiting people necessarily, but like helping people change from just like a consumer of anti-MLM content to someone who can say, I've done something for the anti-MLM movement, whatever it is. And that may be just, you know, posting a public comment to the FTC when they're having one of these open comments periods, like they did in January or December and January and last year. And that has always been, since I came into the anti-MLM space, the accessibility factor in not just content creation, but activism in general is lacking, I think. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that this is such a grassroots movement. We don't have backers. There's not someone paying for really any of this to happen. And yeah, so I wanted to talk about accessibility in activism, but also like, if the problem isn't just accessibility, how do we activate those people who are watching our stories and commenting? How do we get them to, you know, share this information with other people who don't already know it, right?
Right.
How do we turn our followers or our anti-MLM consumers into activists? And so we had our survey that we did, that we got just a ton of feedback, and I'm looking into how still to like publish that data, because I want to do it in kind of you know, a trustworthy professional way. So I think that there's a website I'm going to check out that has like tools to upload, you know, survey data for data scientists to look over it. I'm going to see what tools they have for me to publish something. Because I really want to share our findings. It was fascinating.
We asked a lot of questions because we weren't really sure what we were looking for. So for anyone that doesn't know, like, we kind of collaborated to come up with all these questions, thinking like, okay, like, these are some areas that we're interested in, like, learning a little bit more of. Some of these might come out as total duds and we just don't get any information, and that's okay. Like, that's the point of doing surveys, is to collect the data and see if the information we're looking for is there, if the things that we think is happening are happening. So, like, we really, really, really appreciate anyone who did fill it out. But really, yeah,
amazing, like, response. Cool. We got so many.
Over thousands.
Over 1,100. And I think we originally, like, we wanted 960. And that was, like, our big, like, Josh Coates, the Beachbody business coach, would say our puke goal. The goal that makes you want to puke.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's super healthy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, once we got the results from that survey, we were able to kind of dig in and see, okay, people are, you know, showing us that social selling news, when they said that about Gen Z, was pretty much right. We're seeing, you know, throughout these four generations that we asked about, baby boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, over the generations, each generation has gotten more and more suspicious of MLM, thinking that it could be a pyramid scheme, or a scam. Opinions show that, you know, people are joining less, fewer people from each generation have joined MLMs of the people that we surveyed. So all of that is really fantastic. And so I wanted to be able to kind of say, okay, my friends have all presented these survey results and we're analyzing them. Now, what do we do with them? And I think a lot of the feedback was about that accessibility. And one of the other, so I laid out three key ingredients, in my opinion, to activation in my presentation, one of them being accessibility and the others being compassion and gamification. And I think compassion was one we saw a lot in our open-ended question that we asked on the survey. A lot of people responded that anti-MLM is really effective when it is compassionate.
Right.
And less so when it isn't. I think we saw that across the board, kind of.
Right, exactly. And I think that this is something that people really take for granted. I mean, I have a hard time talking about this because I don't want anyone to feel like I'm attacking them at all. Like, you make content the way that you want to make content. You educate people the way you feel that is right for you to educate people. And that's not really any of my business. But I do feel like it's really important to say, you know, we need to be there with open arms. And when we make videos that are attacking MLM reps and not the companies, you're not creating an inviting space for people to come follow you. And I'm not saying that it doesn't work. It does. It does get people out, but you're also losing people.
It kind of comes back to what Mallory said in her presentation, her part of our presentation, when she was talking about the goals. What are the goals of the anti-MLM movement? And she pointed out, we don't have set goals in the anti-MLM movement. Each person who is part of it has their own goals, and that's good. That's fine. That's wonderful. Right. If your goal is to, you know, bring people in with eye-popping commentary and expose whatever, like, that's great. Like, that's your goal. My goal is to activate people in their anti-MLM, turn them into activists, give them the opportunity or the tools or resources that they need in order to feel like they're becoming, or not becoming, but that they're affecting change. And that's what I'm focusing on. So I completely agree with you. And I think that, like I said, it depends on what you're trying to do with your content. If you're trying to grab people's attention, maybe that, you know, it's less about compassion, right, which is fine. But I do think that it is just super important that as as overall, we just all kind of keep in mind where these people are coming from. They're us a right. few years ago.
Right.
And, right. And
that is something that I talked about in my presentation, that when I was in, I said, all I knew about anti-MLM was that there were people who really didn't like MLM reps. And that's all I knew. And so when I started to like question things, I wasn't turning to look at that content. I knew that was going to make me feel bad. Why would I go and look at something that I know is going to make me feel bad? No, thank you.
Yes. And I kind of have a story myself. I told this on Roberta's podcast, I think, but it was like the first time I'd ever spoken to anyone about my MLM experience. And I didn't know anything about this world. I was just seeing what I could find first in my search results, you know? And so when I'm searching, the truth about multi-level marketing, what's going to come up? Well, probably a lot of videos about or promoting MLM, right? And then the ones that are going to pop up, the eye-catching popular ones that are, I'm talking about videos, I keep saying ones, if we're looking for videos, the ones that the algorithm is going to push to me are things that are based on my previous searches and interests. So the MLMs themselves, right?
Right.
and things that are currently or have gotten a lot of engagement and attention, which is controversial stuff. You know, it's the chaos machine. Right. The algorithm is going to push the engaging content. And a lot of the time that means it's going to be something that pisses you off and makes you just want to like keyboard warrior battle. Right.
Right.
And that's what I experienced a few years ago, before I joined Beachbody, but after my first MLM and I joined a few Facebook groups that were just anti-MLM Facebook groups. I don't even know which ones or if they're, you know, even really big ones or anything. But all of the groups that I joined were like, everyone was just posting like Huns in the Wild posts, right? Just screenshots of like, look at my stupid friend who thinks she's a business owner and stuff like that. And I was just like, kind of appalled by the bullying that I saw happening in these Facebook groups. And it actually turned me off of the movement, not the idea. I still believed, and I think pretty much understood at the time that, you know, it was a scheme where only a few people are going to make any money and it's not ethical. And I left those groups, right? I didn't want to surround myself with content that made me feel that way. And I left them. And then a few months later, I was convinced to join Beachbody.
Yep.
And I just can't help but imagine, like, if my experience in anti-MLM would have been more compassionate, I would have stayed in those groups, maybe learned more or found some podcasts earlier that would have saved me $5,000 and a year and a half of my life.
Right.
So yeah. I come back to that all the time because I have personal experience in being turned off of anti-MLM and joining an MLM because it wasn't compassionate.
I remember when I was looking, like when I was thinking about joining Arbonne, I was looking at videos and stuff. So I looked at some pro MLM videos. And I think I saw one of like CC Suarez's videos. And I was like, okay, well, like clearly this lady's just bitter. Like, you know, like one of the things that they tell you, which is true in a lot of ways, is that most people, when they write a review for something, are writing a review because they're mad about it, because they got hurt. And like, on one hand, that's the point. Yeah. Like, you know, people want to like tell you about the bad things so that you don't experience them. But on the other hand, people that want to say positive stuff don't usually say anything unless they had like an overwhelmingly over the top good experience with it.
That is so true. That is so true. It's true in relationships. I mean, just saying that, it makes me feel like, I mean, just hearing you say that, immediately my thoughts go to, this is why, like, my friends who don't like my online friends usually don't like whoever I'm dating at the time, right? Or my husband or my other friends that they don't know, because the only time that I talk about these other people with my online friends or whatever is going to be when I'm bitching about them.
Right.
And it is kind of the same, or it can be the same with online reviews like Yelp and even like surveys. That I was always told that, you know, when we were sending out surveys after we sold a cell phone in the retail cell phone store that I worked in, you know, every customer would get a survey. And every time we were, you know, it was drilled into us, you have to actually tell them about this survey and get them excited about it so that if they have a good experience, they actually take it. Because otherwise, you're only going to get answers from people who are pissed.
Yeah.
And it's the same concept. You're totally right.
Right. Exactly. Like, and like you said, too, it's the same thing about anybody. Like, if anyone has like one bad experience with somebody, then they're going to scream about it. And that's all you're going to hear is how everyone hates Kanye West.
Right. Well, he's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have many good things to say about him. But I mean, that's a case in
point. But like, why do we have to say anything about him? Yep.
Yep. Oh, anyways, so I kind of want to pivot a little bit because I actually tried something today because of something you sent me. You sent me an article today and you were like, is this even ethical? Like, is this okay? And I looked through the article and I was like, this is gross. It was an article about Moderna and their new hormone supplement. And I was like, no, this whole thing is full of health claims and it's super gross. So I trotted my happy ass over to my cell phone and I made a report to the FTC. And what I did then was I made a post about it on my Instagram. So I'm trying a new way to try to activate people and feel like they can actually do something. So I posted the article and I said, hey, read this article. If you feel the same way as me, please go report it to the FTC. And I'm hoping that maybe if we start doing some more content like this too, we can start actually like kind of corralling people into doing some stuff that's actually going to make a difference, because that is one of the things the FTC talked about in their presentation there are not enough reports about frauds, pyramid schemes, and health claims.
It's true. And okay, I've got a couple of points, but first I want to geek out for a second about ADHD. So is that all right with you?
Yeah.
So I was reading, I think I told you this, but I was reading last week this article. I don't know where it was from. I can't remember, but it was about how one of the reasons people with ADHD, people like me, have problems like starting projects is because due to their like limitations on their, what was it? Nonverbal working memory. They're not able to envision what the project will look like completed and therefore work back and find the first step. And I will send you this and maybe you can put a link to it in your show notes because yeah, it's super interesting, or I'll at least post it on my social media. But it made me start thinking like different ideas and wow. Michelle cannot speak this morning, and that's okay. It's because I'm really excited. I think that what you just said planted a new idea in my head and I love it, because the idea of sharing out, hey, I just did this and this is what it looked like, could be something that brings down that barrier for people who have ADHD. Because one of the things that this article was suggesting with kids who have this problem, if you're a parent, is, you know, show them, take a picture of their room completely clean and show it to them before they have to start cleaning their room and say, this is what we want it to look like. Can you help me make it look like that? And that is, that helps them get over that first step of like, okay, what do I do first? And getting started. Right.
And also, I think this is exactly what we did during the first commenting period, was we broke down and we showed people, like, I went in my stories and I made like a screen recording of me going in and how to fill out all of the stuff. And that, I think this was before you actually came up with the comment crafter. So like, I showed people how to go through MLM change to write their comment.
Yeah.
And you eventually showed people how to use the comment crafter to do that. So like, mm-hmm. we've provided several different ways for people to access this and break it down from just going to the FTC website, which can feel, I don't know why, I get the yuck when it gives me the yuck when I have to go to a government website. They're not pretty. They're not fun. This is one of the things that I said to the FTC.
They're not accessible.
Right. It doesn't feel, and I know that like it's a government website, so it's supposed to look professional and clean and whatever, but professional and clean is not warm and inviting and like,
and
hey,
professional and clean is the opposite of what we know attracts people who are attracted to MLM, right?
Right. Exactly. Like, we all went for unicorn sparkle, empress of the world titles. We weren't going there to be like CEO number one. Like,
right.
That's not a title of any MLM. Well, I guess that's CEO number one would be like Carl Deichler, but
right.
You're welcome, Carl. Gave you that nice fancy title. You didn't even have to join my pyramid scheme.
You're already but CEO yeah, number one, and your second business center is CEO number two. That's a little inside baseball Beachbody joke for you.
But so like, one of the ways that I'm planning to try to move forward and one, hold myself more accountable because I'm not reporting stuff that I see enough, but also try to get people to report the stuff. If one constructive criticism thing I could say about people that make videos would do is say, if you thought that this was problematic, go and report it to the FTC. Here is the link below that you want to include in your report. That could be huge. That could be huge. And you would actually be doing something to further the government side of anti-MLM.
Yeah. I just had kind of a crazy idea. But this is how all my ideas start. And like, half of them don't work out because they're just that out there, but the ones that do work out are really awesome because they're really out there. Anyway, I'm thinking about gamification still, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's the third piece that I talked about in my presentation, and it's for kind of the same reason, like, how do we motivate people to actually do these things even if they know how to do it? Is we need to make it engaging and fun and make people feel like they're being rewarded for the work that they're doing, even if that doesn't mean paying them for it or something like that.
Right.
Making them feel like they're being rewarded for it makes it engaging and makes them want to do it again. And on a subconscious level, it's what gets people engaged in the first place, especially in MLM. It's totally gamified. It's taken the whole concept of running a small business and turned it into a game where you get little dopamine hits instead of paychecks.
Right.
And all the profit just goes to CEO number one.
Can we take just a second to like further explain gamification and a couple of examples of gamification that don't involve getting money?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. What a good idea. So, well, the first example that I used in my presentation was Oregon Trail. Like, that is like the definition of gamification, right? It's like, came out in like, I think the early 90s, maybe mm-hmm. late 80s, before social media, before Google, before the internet. And it was like, if I remember correctly, I mean, I was playing Oregon Trail in like 95, maybe. And
I remember I was in third grade. I don't remember. Yeah. Or third and fourth grade, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, 95 to 2000 yeah. was like prime time, I think, for Oregon Trail Game. But I learned so much that I still remember. Like, why do I know what dysentery is when I learned about it at 6 years old? Right. That's amazing. And that, so that's an obvious example because it's literally taking education and turning it into a game. So that's kind of where we get the name gamification. But another example, that I talked about was, like Nike Running Club. Mm-hmm. Or you have a running app or something, don't you?
Yeah, I have Couch to 5K.
There you go. Couch to 5K is a really good example. You're not getting paid to use it. Or no. You might be paying to use it. I don't know. But it's taking, you know, you have this goal. I want to be able to run a 5K. I don't know what to do.
Right.
It kind of plays into the whole, like everything we've talked about fits perfectly together, like puzzle pieces, in my opinion. And a vital piece is the engagement and motivation and reward factor. And that's the gamification piece. And even if it's just little dopamine hits, because you get like a cool sparkly GIF that pops up after you hit submit or something, you know, like that kind of thing. You don't think of it as what's pushing a business or a movement or an idea forward, but on a subconscious level, it is, because that's what's making people revisit and share it and share it and share it and share it. Right. And I think that that's so important. And I think, you know, the running apps are really good examples of that too. But I have to get this out of me before I forget it.
Yes.
When you were talking about how you'd like to go forward with posting when you when you make a report to the FTC so that other people can do so easily as well. What if, have you seen, there are like Instagram accounts that just like repost things that other people have posted. They just like curate an Instagram feed. There are like apps that allow people to do that, where you share an Instagram post to whatever email address or to whatever Instagram account, and it is an automated process that then that Instagram account or email or whatever will spit out a repost for you. So you can just repost it without having to go through and make a caption and everything. I don't know how any of that works, but I think I could figure it out, because that's just how my brain works when I get onto an idea. And like, what if I were to make, like, maybe out of MLM an Instagram account I already have into one of those repost accounts where you can just like send, okay, this is totally not necessarily going to happen, but tell me if right. you think this would be a good idea. This is how my brain works.
If this is how most of our conversations go.
It's true. This is how most conversations with Michelle Carpenter go. So you're on Instagram and you see just a wild health claim, right? From an MLM hun. And you're like, I know that this should be reported to the FTC. What if you just had to like tag out of MLM in the comments, and that Instagram account bundled up that post and reported it to the FTC?
That would be really cool. That would take away a lot of barriers. However, here's the one problem with that. I mean, that would be great for it to count as one submission, and it would count as your submission, right? But one of the things that the FTC talked about was that the form letters of things, like when you're contacting your state reps or the FTC or whoever, they don't want it to just be an automatic email. So in one way, I think that that's really great, because it's getting reported and it's like eliminating a lot of barriers for people who just like can't do that. Like the executive functioning isn't there, or they...
We wouldn't want that to be what, you know, is the only thing that's getting reported.
Right. I think that that could turn into an issue, but I do think that there is something there that we could play with. And like,
maybe if it's even just maybe the Instagram account or whatever it is will then like send them back just like the post, so they have it later, but, or, and direction, like a link to the report.gov or something. report right. that.
Well, what if the Instagram account had all of the, like, so it would say like, okay, this post is problematic, in my opinion. And if you also agree that this is problematic, here's the information that you need to report this.
Oh, like share, like have the actual account share it out so that other people who are following the account will also then report it.
Right, exactly. So yeah, it kind of gives everyone like a, this is what you're looking for information.
I think there's something to this idea. I don't think the way I laid it out originally, but that's never how my ideas come to fruition. Like, it's workshop. Just throwing this out there and then we'll workshop it until it's actually right. But I think that there's something here that we can work with, especially now that I remember John Braille from the National Consumer League was at the conference, and he was talking about how his group is part of the Sentinel Network, which is, it's not part of the Sentinel Network, but the Sentinel Network, I guess, is like the FTC's database that they share with, I don't know what they're called, but different groups or people who are authorized to also report fraud.
Right.
So like if you were, for example, if you were to report an ad to the National Consumer League, you would not then have to also report it to the FTC because the NCL sends it to the FTC through the Sentinel Network. So one thing that we were talking about at the conference was maybe getting MLMchange.org or one of us or something set up as like an authorized submitter to where you can just report to us and we can kind of make our own report fraud form that is more fun and engaging and simple than the FTC one, but all of the information just still gets sent to the same place. And, you know, as an option, obviously.
Right. Right. It's not to replace it for not the FTC. It's just to give people who are looking for that, that need that engaging platform to do these things, that's going to walk you through a little bit gentler. It's a place to give those people access. And that's great. I think that that's fantastic. So yeah, I think that this idea has something to it. I know that you have a lot of cool ideas on your agenda.
You're going to tell me to stop. I know.
No, I'm not going to tell you to stop. I'm going to just say to the world, like, volunteers are welcome.
Like, volunteers are great. There is something you can do, I promise. Like, if you're not wanting to be in a video or even share your name publicly, that's not all there is here to do.
There's so many things to do. And I wonder too if people would be interested in like a workshop of how, like, what if we did quarterly workshops on Zoom where we kind of had like an open invite to people to say, okay, we're going to have like a workshop where like me and you are going to be there every time talking about how we can do things differently. And if you have an idea, if you want help workshopping your ideas to make them happen, we're here to support you. That could be really cool. And it would hold us accountable to keep making sure that we're moving forward and not just laying stagnant.
That is very true. I really like that idea. I hope that some of your listeners have feedback, because I would love to know like what the people want.
Yeah.
Because I could see it being super helpful to like, this is a workspace. We're going to body double for 3 hours and just do anti-MLM shit. Or even like, you know, come with questions about, okay, like, what do you do for a living? Okay, I'm a teacher. Great. Here's how we can use your skills that you have as a teacher in anti-MLM.
Right. Like, I think that one of the things that was kind of brought up when I brought up the idea of how do we help children to learn this at an early age, one of the things that was pushed back on me when I brought that up was that it is controversial to bring these ideas to schools. So how can we get some more educators involved that know how to do this in a tactful way where we can educate about what kind of business models are safe, But one of the things that was brought up was
sustainable.
Right. If you have a, what's going to happen is there's going to be kids of people that have moms and dads and MLMs, and they're going to go home and be like, you're in a pyramid scheme. And then their parents are going to be mad, and they're going to get mad at the school. So we don't, like, on one hand, I would love for those parents to learn that they are in a pyramid scheme. On the other hand, teachers have enough going on as it is, and I don't want to cause them any more stress and hardship by putting a controversial topic on their agenda. Controversial quotation. I think that we can all agree that scams and frauds are not controversial. We don't want them to. I guess we just disagree on what is a scam and fraud. but anyways.
True.
Yeah.
That is very true. I agree. That's educators, any any skill set, there will be something. Like, for example, I realized that I'm not the most articulate live speaker. And so because of that, I don't love live speaking. I don't enjoy it because I'm self-conscious about it. But what I do love doing is coding. And when I got into anti-MLM, didn't really ever occur to me that there could be any kind of work that I could do using my knowledge in like code languages to move this movement, to help this movement in any way. And I was really, really wrong, because what I have been thanked for most since speaking out about MLM a year and a half ago was building that website. And I wouldn't have been able to do any of that. I wouldn't even have the idea to have done that if it weren't for my tech experience. And so I think that sometimes it just takes someone else pointing out, you know, here's, you know, where we could really use that skill. It would be good to workshop things like that together. I think that's super awesome.
Yeah. I wonder if we could get Roberta on board with the idea of doing a town hall together. I'm sure that she would be on board. It would just be whether or not she could attend all of them or not. Because she's all about helping people and doing all the things, but she would be like so helpful in all this. I mean, so many ideas.
I know. Oh my gosh. Was there any more from the presentation you wanted to go over though?
Yes. I wanted to actually circle back to some of your other ideas that you had, that we didn't come up with today.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, what are some other things that are on the horizon for you of like things that you are hoping, like, I guess we'll call them passion dream projects, Sparkle Princess.
Oh my gosh. So my passion dream Sparkle Princess project right now, my, like, ideally what I would like to do, is build an app that is, so I have two different threads, but they're kind of the same idea. So, for people in MLM, it would be an app that is not anti-MLM, but it just helps them track their profit and loss.
Right.
Right. But for like, the idea originated with just like a tool, that makes it easier for people to calculate what all they have spent in multi-level marketing.
I have an idea for what you should call it.
What?
You could. Sorry. I don't want to shit on you. You could call it just like simple, like MLM profit tracker. Because that highlights the profit, which so that would make it more encouraging for like people that are in to recommend it to others, because that was my feedback to you, is that people aren't going to recommend it to them because they are going to be like, they're going to see that they're losing money. Why would they do that? It's like, you know, the uplines are going to be like, don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's really smart. I like that.
A profit tracker, people who are maybe like, you know.
We know buzzwords matter.
Yeah. In the cognitive dissonance of it all, are not going to kind of realize exactly what's going on. So that, I think that reframe alone, that just made my brain sparkle like crazy. So
I love that. Oh my gosh. This is what it's all about, right? But one of my favorite things, in anti-MLM is Megan Williams' book.
Yes.
what is it called? Cutting Ties, Healing After MLM.
Yes.
And she has like this whole section in there that like opened my eyes to how much money I had actually spent on Beachbody, because I was only looking at what I had directly paid Beachbody.
Right.
But she really helps you kind of break down like what you spent because you were in Beachbody, not necessarily just what you spent on Beachbody, right?
Right.
And so I really like, I've talked to Megan, you know, I want to meet with her and get her, you know, input on, you know, what the questions should be, or maybe she even wants to help design it. But yeah, we're going to chat about that, but really it was her idea and I would like to gamify it.
Yeah. I think that that's amazing. And I think like, I know that when we originally talked about it, I like shot you down a little bit, but now that I like was able to reframe that in my head to like that, I'm like, see, it sometimes for people with executive functioning things, it just takes that reframe for them to be able to see the possibilities. And I think that that is something that we as a community need to be very aware of, because especially when you're neurodivergent, if it is not presented to you in the right way, it's a no-go. When you presented that to me, I was like, Michelle, that's not going to work. And you were pissed. But now that we're talking about it again and my brain had a little bit of time to recharge and like think about some things and I was able to reframe that, I'm like, oh my gosh, with the right language, this will be successful. It's exactly. Not, again, we have to remember too, guys, like we're not going to save everyone. We're not on a mission to save everyone. We're here to help as many people as we can. And as long as we're remembering that and we're going about it with the right language and compassion, we will help so many people. And it's so cool. It's so cool.
I'm unbelievably jazzed. I think we had like maybe 5 dance parties in DC. We were just so hyper about activism. We're like, we're going to save the world from MLM. And I just love feeling super hyped up like that. And you know, that's the point of conferences, right? Like we know that. That wasn't really the point of this conference, because it was an academic conference. People were presenting their research and we were presenting, you know, hey, here's the social media guys, you know, we're showing the academics what's going on in the social media space because they're not watching it. So, and well, that's fine.
Actually, what I think we did learn was that they are.
Apparently. Yeah. Though that's what I thought we were doing. You're right. But then we got there and they're like, love it.
Yeah. So like, if you are a content creator, like people who are doing the other side of this, the academic work, they do care about what we're saying. They like, that was one of the biggest takeaways for me, was that people care. And it was so cool to see that. But so like you were just saying, like feeling jazzed about moving forward. I think that that's what these like kind of town hall meetings could be if we moved forward with that. So I'm hoping that when I post this, I will have, my Instagram feed there, like, you know, the Instagram post, and people can comment and talk about if they would like to be a part of that. And I'm more than happy to share my Zoom link to create a space for that to happen. And we can plan it out. I can share about it on the podcast. So that way you guys know when it's happening. I can share about it on Instagram, so those people know when it's happening, and like anyone else in the community that wants to be involved, we can do that. And we can, I mean, it will take some time probably to work out the kinks of this, but I think that would be really cool, because if we did this more often, people would get excited instead of like just the occasion, you know, when you get a nice message from somebody saying that you helped them, that's really, really cool. And that's really, that lights a fire under my butt for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that this would be a way to help each other stay motivated. And just remember that we're not in this alone. And there are other people with other ideas that have things to say.
I completely agree. I'm excited about this idea, all these ideas.
Yes.
This conversation here. Like, if we can facilitate something like this, but for many people to talk together and collaborate and you know, just work together. I mean, I think anti-MLM is really good at pulling each other up, right? Like, we know what it's like to watch our friends and our people that we're working with every day, just like either shoot to the top and leave us behind, or just like fall off, right? There is no like consistency in MLM. And I think that we need to just kind of cultivate a consistency within anti-MLM that people can kind of rely on, that doesn't feel like the same game over again, you know? Like, I can see how, like, if you're really excited about anti-MLM, you've just left a company maybe, and you're really excited about anti-MLM, you speak out about it, and then after a few months, it's just like, okay, my content's kind of going back to what it was before. I'm not quite as hyper fixated on anti-MLM. Mm-hmm. You can kind of, because of the way the algorithm works and the way social media affects our brains, you know, that can pull people back into MLM.
Right.
It can pull people back into unethical business practices, maybe even in a different business, but they're not carrying over that information because it's not consistently present.
Right, exactly.
And exactly. I think that if there was consistency in that message and always someplace that people could go to find this stuff, I think that it would just be better.
Absolutely. And I volunteer as tribute to keep everyone on task, because as we learned, I am really good at that.
You're so good at it.
Okay. So what was your other idea? You said you had a second idea.
Oh, did I?
Yes. You have the profit loss and then...
So the other one that I was kind of chewing on, and I think that I can work off of what we already have, like the framework that we already have with the comment crafter tool that is on MLM Change, that was, Claudia Gross, who is a academic in, oh my God, the Netherlands. I'm like, where does she live? I know her name has a letter in it that I don't know how to pronounce. anyway, she wrote all those questions for the comment crafter that we used last year. And I would love to use kind of the same idea and framework to develop a tool that helps people craft their own letters about their experiences to their elected officials. So maybe you'd go in and say, like, maybe the first question is, have you actually been in an MLM? And you say, yes, or no, my mom has, or whatever. Then it would, you know, come up with a curated set of questions for you to answer and talk about your experience that actually motivate you to answer them, which we can look into, you know, the wording and what motivates people to answer questions and things like that down the road. But, at the end, so in theory, because this is all not, I haven't done any coding or anything on it yet. It's all an idea, but I would really love to use the ChatGPT for technology, because they have like business licenses that you can get to integrate their AI into different tools. I know a little bit about AI. I know enough to know that with the ChatGPT tool, I could integrate it in a way that would help people just fill in or construct their letter, but it still be about their experience and their feelings. So, you know, at the end, you've answered all these questions, maybe not necessarily in the format that you would if you were telling your representative, but once you've answered these questions at the end, it would say something like, all right, here's an example of a letter you could send. And then it just populates, you know, it puts everything in the right order. It adds filler words and corrects the grammar and makes it readable, but it doesn't actually make up a new story or anything like that. It just makes it a format that you're happy to go, okay, yeah, I'll send it. Maybe the form itself asks where you live as well. So at the end, you can just hit the same button or the submit button, and it sends to all of your representatives based on your location, and you don't have to do anything else.
That would be so cool. I'm going to pat myself on the back again because I'm such a little activist this week. Look at me go, guys. I actually called my state rep yesterday and I gave them a piece of my mind.
Did you really?
In a 4-minute voicemail.
Oh my God.
They That's got longer than a TikTok video.
Wow, good for you.
I know. I can't believe I didn't tell you that.
Yeah, maybe you did. I don't know.
No, I definitely didn't. I think I did it. And then I was like, okay, it's done. And then I just moved on to my next thing on my list of things to do. But I'm surprised I didn't tell you guys because you guys would
have
cared. You're
so casual. Yeah, you know, no big deal. Just reaching out to my elected officials and telling them what's up.
I know. I didn't even get my dopamine hit from telling you guys about it.
The dopamine must have just been that good from actually doing it.
Yeah. And like, I think that that's the thing too. Like, if you're calling, like, call and then post about calling. Like, let's make activism cool, guys. Like, it is cool. It's cool to care. And don't let people think that not caring is cool because it's not. Like, yeah. We need to care about each other to make more changes. And the more we report, the more that we speak out, the more that we're able to get the word to people that are making a difference, the more changes that are going to happen.
Absolutely. I think advocacy and activism can be easy. There's just a lot of there are a lot of different kinds of barriers that people can experience. And it's not necessarily that all these barriers are impossible to overcome. It's just that there isn't really anyone out there solving multiple of them. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Your barrier is going to be different than mine, even right. slightly. Right. And if we're just doing absolutely everything we can to address as many barriers as we can identify, then there is inevitably going to be growth in this movement.
Right. And so all I did to call my state rep was I just Googled who's my state rep. And it just had me, I think I just had to put my town in and then yep. it found it for me. And I gave her a call and left a message.
That's wonderful.
What happens from there? I have no idea. Maybe I'm going to call every week or every other week and essentially say the same thing over and over again until somebody calls me back. I'm not really sure, but they get paid to talk to me. So, and to hear my thoughts and to represent
by
me.
You. Yes. They get paid by your tax dollars.
Right. Exactly, guys. So, you know, those fancy things that we need to pay right about now or hopefully get money back from. Fingers crossed. But like, it's okay. Like, it's okay to be annoying about this stuff. You're not being annoying about this stuff. You're doing what you're supposed to do. And the more we can do it, the better. Just please do it. And post about it. I want to post about it and tag me in it. I would love to be able to share that people are contacting their representatives and doing stuff because they care.
100%. I would love to shout you out too. Like, yeah. I repost almost every story that I'm tagged in, just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Like, tag us. Say, like, you know, just do like a, maybe we can, is there a way that we can make like a fancy little, like, sticker for Instagram? So that way, like, when you do it, you can use our sticker.
Yeah. I can figure it out.
Yeah.
This Maybe. Is like most of our conversations are like I wonder if you could do something like that. And I'm like, that's a really good idea. I can maybe make it happen. See, yeah. That's what I'm the facilitator. You guys are the ideas, guys.
Well, you're just the only one that I'm connected with that knows how to do like computer stuff. So like, I mean, and that's the other thing too about having this like town hall type of meeting. Like I would like to have a group of people that know how to do stuff with computers that can all do these things, because right now I'm going, hey, Michelle, hey, Michelle, hey, Michelle, can you do this? Can you do this? And like, yeah, you can do it all, but wouldn't it be great for you to be like, hey, you know what? You're actually really good at this part of this thing, and I'm better at this part. And it would be great if you could do this, and then I can do this, and then we can smush them together, and we have a big, happy FTC reporting sandwich.
Love it. Yes. With like, extra mayo.
Yeah. So that would be really cool. So I'm really jazzed about this. And even if it just turns into, you know what, every 3 to 4 months we get together and we have a dedicated conversation about what we want to do. And it's only me and you that show up. I think that would be awesome. Because even this conversation has been huge. Like I talk to you almost every single day and we don't talk about this. Like occasionally we do, but like,
yeah,
that would be cool. Wonderful.
So, can't say that enough. I'm so excited. That was my Danielle.
Yes, that's my tagline. I am so excited.
You see me giggling when you said it about me?
Yeah. All right, Michelle, is there anything else that you feel like we should cover from the DC trip, or just the future of activism, or how people can help that like we haven't covered today?
I think we've covered so much of what I'm currently really excited about. I think the only other thing that, and I don't know, this doesn't really fit in at the end, but it's just something that I wanted to throw out there, is that one thing that the folks from the FTC told us a few times was patience.
Yes.
Because these processes, like the revisions that they're looking at, hopefully making on the business opportunity rule, any new rulemaking would take even longer. So if they go forward with the unfair and deceptive earnings claims rulemaking that they were considering last year, if they go forward with that, we're probably looking at years and years and multiple public comments periods. So one thing that they, you know, stressed was like, be patient and consistent, because if we throw all of our efforts into this, you know, last year and this year, and then we don't have the patience to still be around in 6 or 7 years when they're finalizing this rule, the DSA is still going to be there. They can swoop in, do the same thing that they did 12 years ago with the original business opportunity rule, which was essentially charm the shit out of everyone who was making the decisions, I think. And
they sent a form letter. They sent 20,000 form letters.
They
right?
did. They sent 17,000 form letters. And essentially by form letter, we're saying like a copy and paste. Like they got 17,000 copies of this one letter from different people, MLM reps, but like they didn't put their own thought into writing this out. They weren't giving the FTC the reasons that they as an individual disagree with this or that or whatever. But there wasn't really an anti-MLM movement at the time. There wasn't that counter movement, that counterpoint. There weren't opposing comments. You know, even 100 really well thought out, purposeful, intentional comments would have been possibly enough to, you know, be the counterpoint to 17,000 copy and paste comments. And I just think that it's, you know, really important that we actually are there through this entire process and we stay energized.
And again, I really want to bring this home. You don't have to be the most educated person in that comment thing. I remember when the comment like period was open and I was like really, really busy because I was working at an agency, and I was opening my own practice, and I was doing the podcast, and I was getting married, and I had all of this stuff going on. And I was like, I don't have two brain cells to rub together to write a comment right now. And I just sat down, and I think I wrote like maybe one or two paragraphs, like nothing fancy, just like, this is why I think this should happen, and sent it on my way. Like, I didn't write an academic paper, which I could have if I wanted to sit down and do that, but I didn't want to. I didn't have the time. I didn't want to. I would love to do something like that for them, but I didn't have the time at that point or the space in my brain. So, like, you don't have to do that. If you want to send a couple of sentences over saying why you think that, that is perfectly acceptable. It doesn't have to be beautiful. It doesn't have to be great. And we have ChatGPT right now too. So if you want help writing, like, go ahead and write it and then throw it into ChatGPT and say, like, make it better.
Yeah, you can just say something like, make it better, fix this. You can say, I'm wanting to submit this on the public comments period for blah, 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 blah. If you get specific, ChatGPT being artificial intelligence will, take your direction. And, if you want it to sound more academic or something, it can do that as well. But it doesn't have to be. Like you said, they are super appreciative of all of the comments that they received last year during that ANPR, that initial push that we did with the commenting campaign, was brought up several times in even like Katie Daffin from the FTC presented at this conference, and her presentation, it was the last session of the day, not ours, but it's also on the website. Katie and I don't know, possibly even, I think Claire Wack from the FTC, who also presented in the first session, brought it up. They all are saying that these comments matter. They're being read. And it doesn't, like, they want to hear from you how you think, how you speak, what's your experience. They're not looking for, a stay-at-home mom who just left her MLM to write a 10-page academic research paper in order to prove to them that she was hurt by MLM. Right. She can just say, I was hurt by MLM.
Right, exactly. I had another point and I just forgot it. Classic, but that's okay. I'm so excited, you guys. Me and Michelle are going to nail down a day that we can have an open period of time on Zoom where you guys can join us, and ask questions, and figure out how you can get involved. And, if you're unsure how you can be helpful, we can just kind of talk you through that and figure out what nooks and crannies can you fill in this space. And not necessarily, like, if you want to be a content creator, awesome, we'll help you do that too. If you don't want to be a content creator, we'll try to help you find a spot that will help us or help somebody else. Exactly. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say too, and like, I know that the chances of somebody who's in an MLM listening all the way to this point are probably pretty slim, but if you are here and you are in an MLM, they want to hear your voices too. This isn't just about, like, we want to know what you like about MLM. I mean, like, chances are we being X reps kind of have an idea of what you liked about it, but they want to hear from you too. This isn't about silencing anyone. This is about getting as many people's voices heard as possible. The point of our government is that they're supposed to listen to everyone and all of our ideas. So just because our ideas might be different than your ideas doesn't mean that you shouldn't reach out. So if you want to reach out and you've listened this far, I appreciate you, and you should reach out to the FTC and tell them what you do like about MLMs and maybe also what could be better about your experience. So, yeah. Michelle, do you have anything to add?
No, I think that's a really, really good point to end on. It's for everyone. They want to hear from everyone and anyone. And we want to help facilitate that.
Absolutely. All right, guys. The podcast is restarting, so you can look for that. As long as I have an episode, it will be released every Friday. And I hope that you guys are having a great day. Oh, also, if you happen to get to this point, I did turn on subscriptions. So for 99 cents, you can subscribe to the podcast. And from what I understand, you get it ad-free on Spotify. So if you want an ad-free experience, it's only 99 cents. And that's cool beans. It will help me to make the podcast better and just support a little bit of my time. But I'm hoping to try and get the podcast more edited, and that would help support me in that venture. So thank you guys so much for listening. I hope to see you in our open town halls. And Michelle, you are freaking amazing. Thanks for making time for us this morning.
Thank you so much, Danielle.
Bye, guys.